From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, an ethanol trader with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the energy markets. The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is underway. We'll hear detailed reports from both the eastern and the western legs of that tour. They were in Ohio, South Dakota, and parts of Nebraska yesterday. And then closer to the end of this half hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. We'll see if those farms in Ohio, where the tour scouts say the ground has gotten a little dry, will pick up some much-needed rainfall. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat down 14.5 cents today at $8.45 and a quarter. December futures at $8.70 and a quarter, 14.5 lower, and the March contract at $8.94 and a half, down 14.5. Corn futures in Chicago, 564 and three quarters for the SEPs, 11 and three quarters higher today. December futures at 584 and a half, up 11 and three quarters, and the March contract at 603 and three quarters, 12 cents higher. May futures, 615 and a quarter, up 11 and three quarters. September soybean futures, $12.67, down 12 cents this afternoon. November beans down 13 at $12.76, and January futures at $12.94, 12 and three quarters a bushel lower. March futures at $13.85, down 13 and three quarters. September bean meal futures at $345.80, down $4 on the afternoon. And the September bean oil at $15.38, down 14 cents for the day. In Kansas City, the hard red winter wheat trading at $8.80 and a half on their last trade settled 9 and one half cents lower. Back in Chicago at the Mercantile Exchange from the CME Group, August live cattle futures $100.70, $1.22 and a half lower. October at $104.82 and a half, down 1.12 and a half. Feeder cattle's trading the August at $112.70, 95 cents lower. September at $112.70 as well, down 87.5 cents. And the August lean hogs at $88.85, 27.5 cents higher for the day. October at $75.25, down 55 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. September crude oil futures are now trading at $114.48 a barrel, $1.61 higher. October futures at $114 and a nickel, up $1.16. September ethanol at $2.19 and 8 cents, a penny and 8 cents higher. September natural gas at $7.98 and 9 cents, up 10 and a tenth, and the RBOB gasoline at $2.86 and a tenth. 4 and 5 tenths higher for the day. September heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $3.12 and 4 cents, up 3 and 9 tenths for the afternoon. And the propane trading at $1.57 is 3 cents higher. Gold futures are trading the August contract at $811 and a dime, $11.40 higher. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average has lost about 122 points on the afternoon. Now stands at 11,357. The U.S. dollar at 76.85 is just about 0.3 lower, and the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading at 388.1. That's 3.75 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Ed Kieser. He's chief meteorologist here at the WILL radio stations. It's really short, mostly clear skies tonight. Lows generally between 56 and 62. Warmer in the mid to upper 60s in some city centers. And tomorrow, across the two states, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range between 83 and 89. The extended forecast says Tropical Storm Fay may make landfall early this morning. Made landfall early this morning, about 55 miles south of Fort Myers, Florida. Fay will drift northward through Florida during the next couple of days and may strengthen a little late tomorrow in the center. Gets out over the Atlantic Ocean just off the coast of Florida.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now for a look at the futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Hi, good afternoon, Todd.
How did you like the trade today?
It was wild. We just about forgot to fasten our seatbelts here today when those beans started moving around.
You know,
it was two different tales here today. It was the tale of the crop report saying yesterday that Ohio wasn't looking good, and then rumors flying in that the crops were looking better in eastern Indiana and Nebraska.
It was kind of interesting because I don't watch the markets all day long. I'm fairly busy over in Mumford Hall. That's the headquarters for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences in my studio there for a good portion of the day, but it sure looked like the beans were all over the place. How did they trade and from one end to the other? When were they higher and when were they lower on the afternoon?
Well, we started out easier this morning, and we shot up and backed off a little, and we shot up and made the highs, and we're sitting there, one time we're 50 cents higher and the beans, and then all of a sudden it seemed like, I'm not sure whether which come first, the chance, a little better chance of rain for the eastern Midwest, or the leakings of some better-looking yields from the Reuters and Dow Jones reporters that are along with the Pro Farmer Tour, and we worked on down and then traded lower on the day, and just chopped around there, and then ended up about 12 to 13 cents lower. So it was that sort of news that brought that down. But there again, in the same respect, I guess we don't feel the corn is going to be helped as much by a rain or late rain here, and maybe the corn yield's not looking as good. A lot of talk of ear tipping in some of the areas, I think, and the girth of the ear, the number of rows around, is coming in 14 and 16 rather than some 18s in a lot of areas.
It'll be interesting to see what the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour has to say about Indiana today. They're making their way through Nebraska. I think we'll try to talk, and I don't know whether we'll get this done or not, simply because he'll be on a cell phone and in the middle of Nebraska with Chip Flory this afternoon to see what they're seeing today. And we'll hear momentarily from Chip, recorded actually from yesterday, and Roger Bernard on the east and western legs of that crop tour. And Chip's going to join us for Commodity Week this week on Friday afternoon. So we'll have plenty of the Pro Farmer guys on the program over the next several days. But they really have their work cut out for them trying to figure out whether USDA got the numbers right in this last crop production report, whether the holes really are going to make it that big of a difference. In Ohio, they said, was just really variable in the size of their corn crop. You're telling me the same thing's kind of taking place in Indiana, I suppose.
Well, we've got, depending on where they stopped and looked, if they stopped over in Morgan County and a few other places over there, they're going to find some very big holes. I mean, as we work through, of course, the government extended the deadline for acreage reporting because of all the delays in planning like that, and as we're trying to finished up acreage reports here just last week, it is amazing how many acres were failed acres, how many acres were failed in corn and then planted beans, in the middle of July. And we've got a lot of late planted crops, and we just don't know how they look good as far as conditions go, but were they planted so late? What sort of yield potential do they have? And will they make it because of frost? So, that's a big thing in the beans this year, Todd, and it goes across a big area.
Well, what are your expectations then as we head into the harvest season?
Well, to be very honest, I think that we're going to see some very varied bean yields. And depending on your location and when you were able to get your corn crop planted, I think we could have some very good yields in some areas and some so-so yields in others. But I think the corn crop is probably going to be better than the bean crop will be just because of the lateness of the bean crop.
Well, the lateness of the bean crop, I'm wondering on the corn crop, I had made note, and it is drier, a lot drier than it has been, of course. And it sure looks like the crop has begun to start to mature at a pretty good rate at this point. at least some fields. Do you think this dryness is going to catch things up? I know it won't be any good for the yield, but it might be good for avoiding a frost at some point.
It could be good for avoiding frost. You know, basically where the moisture has been adequate and whatever along the way, well, we could still have some pretty good test weight along with that. Some of the areas that have been complaining about moisture being down, there we could see some shortness of kernels, which could help or could hurt them as far as test weight, Todd, and with smaller kernels. You know, so far in August, Iowa, Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, and Wisconsin have only had 35 to 50% of their normal rainfall, and they'd sure like to see a little more of that to help fill kernels and, of course, fill the soybean pods.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
No, I think we're just looking forward and watching that ProFarmer very close because I think they're going to be a little more accurate than the government on some of their surveys.
We'll find out, I suppose, as we start to compare those numbers to USDA's numbers the rest of the season long. And we'll talk to you about them, too.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
All right. That's Wayne Nelson. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. He is in Newmarket, Indiana with L&M Commodities.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Scouts completed the first day of the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour yesterday. It's sponsored, of course, in part by John Deere Risk Protection. They say they saw great potential for a corn crop in South Dakota. That is according to Chip Flory. He's editor and publisher of Pro Farmer Newsletter and the leader of the tour's western leg.
I think the key word is potential because of the late maturity of this crop. In general, it's got to get to October 1 without a frost. I'd sure feel a lot better if we got all the way to October 10 without a frost to put as much grain weight on those in those kernels as we possibly can. But it's an exceptionally late developing crop. We saw some fields on the South Dakota and Nebraska border that had just blistered, so it had pollinated here in the last 10 days or so. The ears are developing. It is coming along. It's just going to take a lot more time this year to finish off this crop than what we've seen in the last 2 years.
The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour data showed an increase of 32.5% from a year ago in potential yield for the South Dakota corn crop. The crop tour yield for the state was put at 147.62 bushels to the acre. On the other hand, Flory says soybeans showed the opposite.
If we were impressed with almost every cornfield that we were in, I think that should tell us what we saw in those beans. Just kind of disappointing from start to finish. The pest pressure was very light on most of the routes. The eastern edge in Nebraska, I think, and southeast South Dakota, sounds like the guys maybe should have hit those aphids a little bit harder than what they did a little bit earlier. So there's a little bit more pest pressure over there. Weed pressure is more than what we've seen in the last few years. But this bean crop, I'm worried. We've got a long ways to go on it. Just like corn, we've got to get to at least October 1. And with that said, we still don't have the pods out there that we've seen in the last couple of years in South Dakota or Nebraska, for that matter. And because of that, I'm more than a little worried about the bean yield potential.
Pod counts in South Dakota were down 19.5% from 1 year ago, with the average number of pods in South Dakota in a square yard at 860, compared to 1,069 in 2007. The western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which is sponsored, of course, in part by John Deere Risk Protection, will cover south central and southeast Nebraska today and western Iowa. On Wednesday, the eastern leg of the tour departed Columbus, Ohio yesterday morning, and they were looking at a decidedly late crop. But Roger Bernard, who's Pro Farmer's chief scout on the eastern leg, was shocked at just how late the corn crop actually is in Ohio.
Heading north-northwest out of Columbus, getting up and then basically heading about straight west south of Fort Wayne. I did not find a single sample in the state of Ohio on just my route that was in that doe stage. And that, to me, was a real concern. But other folks on the tour found more advanced corn. They did find some corn getting in that doe to that dense stage. You know, that is, I think, a very good thing, and that was borne out in what we measured in terms of, you know, yield potential out there this year.
So with over 88 samples collected across 11 different routes, Bernard says the yield potential for the Buckeye State is in.
Our Ohio corn yield this year is 148.75. That's up about 3.1% from where we were at a year ago on the tour. Now, USDA on August 1 had found about 6.7% more corn yield potential out there than they did a year ago. Now, keep in mind, that was 3 weeks ago. They were doing basically a stalk count out there. And yeah, there were some record stalk counts out there, I'm sure. But we're out there and we're actually able to get some ears. And that, I think, you know, makes a real difference in things as we look at it. So, you know, we did find some more yield potential out there this year on that corn crop in Ohio than we found a year ago.
But Bernard says it's important to focus on that word potential because at this point in the growing season, moisture is seriously lacking.
That crop moisture index this year was right at 2.0, and last year we were up at 4. 4 is a, you know, good soil moisture profile. 2 is you're probably dry down a foot, and there were some large cracks in some of those fields, and that was a very consistent theme across all the scout reports.
Bernard says another frequent observation struck the pro farmer scouts.
I think a consistent theme there was soybean plants that were not very tall. You know, we don't exactly have the tallest scouts in the world sometimes, but these guys were having problems, you know, with those soybean plants tickling much past their calves.
And while plant size isn't necessarily an indicator of bean yield, Bernard says pod count is.
Not huge pod counts out there. And a lot of those little pods, I know on the route that we were on in particular, we had a lot of those pods that weren't even a quarter inch yet. So sometime in the last week, week and a half, they'd put on a bloom push. Now, with favorable weather the rest of the growing season, those soybean pods, those little fuzzies, they got a chance. But, you know, that's with normal growing conditions. But as dry as things are right now, you know, some of those aren't going to make it. So I think that, you know, is probably one of those things we reflect in our data this year, where our average pod count in that 3 foot by 3 foot square was 1103.61. Now that compares with 1226.70, so we're down a full 10% versus a year ago.
The Pro Farmer Crop Tour's eastern leg will visit Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota this week. The tour is sponsored by John Deere Risk Protection and Pioneer Hybrid. Chip Flory of Pro Farmer will be our guest on Commodity Week this Friday afternoon at 4:30. You can listen to it on the radio stations or at our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week by about 6 o'clock Central Time to willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. USDA released its crop progress report yesterday afternoon. Here's how the numbers panned out from it. Percent silking now stands at 97%. The five-year rolling average at 99%. A good indication of just how far behind the crop is stands with the percent dough. It's at 49% for the nationwide average. The rolling five-year average is 68%, and last year, the dough stage at this time at 77%. Here's the numbers from the five states that lead corn production. Illinois now at 66, normally at 86. Indiana at 49, at 73 on the five-year rolling average. Iowa at 30 is only half as far along as it normally is. It's 60% dough on the rolling five-year average. Minnesota stands 20% in the dough stage, 48 is the normal five-year average, and Nebraska at 67 lags behind its normal rolling five-year average of 80%. Dented nationwide for corn stands at 14%, rolling five-year average at 30. Last year, the corn was at 38% dented when the Pro Farmer Scouts made their crop tour. This year, crop condition is now at 67%, good to excellent. That's the same as last week, and 9 points better than last year's crop. Soybeans blooming at 94%, the rolling five-year average at 97%. Setting pod stands at 75%. Rolling five-year average is 87%. 62% of the soybean crop is now said to be in good to excellent condition. That's a percentage point better than last week and 8 points better than last year.
Have a question about digital radio or digital TV? Come to the WILL Digital Information Fair and Open House Sunday, August 24th from 2 to 4:30 at 300 North Goodwin, Urbana. Get your questions answered, tour Campbell Hall, meet our on-air hosts, and enter to win a digital TV or digital radio. We hope to see you Sunday, August 24th at Campbell Hall.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Time to take a look at the energy markets. Mike Barwinski of Louis Dreyfus now joins us from his Kansas City office to talk about ethanol and other energies. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you on the show. What do you see in the energy and ethanol markets at this point?
Right now in ethanol, we've seen and we've heard ethanol margins at a lot of plants in the Midwest have gotten pretty low, just above variable costs right now. As you've seen, corn came down for a little bit and ethanol was kind of pulled down along with it. Now you have corn coming back up again from its lows a couple weeks ago, but ethanol has just sort of been lagging. Can't really say it's being held in check by, energy or it's just, lack of interest in ethanol. I think people some of your major blenders of gasoline are kind of just waiting, you know, biding their time. They see a lot of production coming online in the next 6 to 8 months. So for them, they might have a better buying opportunity if they just wait it out.
And so potentially a glut of ethanol into the marketplace. Will that put a lot of pressure on producers to put corn in their bins and get at least get the feedstock bought at this time at these kinds of levels, or will they hold off?
Yeah, I think what we have seen is, at least during the summer, we had about 6 to 8 plants that were supposed to come online this summer, which pushed it back to the new crop. So I think you're going to see a lot of them wait until the new crop corn starts coming out to start really ramping up their buying. They have definitely slowed down the pace, and some have even slowed down production because they've been holding off on buying old crop corn.
Is the industry, do you believe, as a whole, relieved that they've made it through this part of the political season and that we'll get probably past November and the election process before anything starts to ramp up in Washington about rolling back RFS again?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see much going from here on out. You're probably going to see some political posturing, but nothing's really going to get done. You'll hear chatter on both sides, but as you said, with the presidential election coming up, no one's going to take a major step in either direction to really put themselves out there.
Okay, Mike, thanks much. Any final word from you today?
No, just hoping to keep talking to you next time.
Okay, we'll talk to you in 1 month, all right?
All right, great.
Mm-hmm. Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, based in Kansas City, joins us on Tuesday afternoons once a month to talk about the futures markets for ethanol and other energy commodities. A quick reminder, there are two things that are happening Thursday of this week, Agronomy Day right here on campus. And then if you have the opportunity to hit Agronomy Day early and head out to Parkland, they'll take up agri-energy there. Representative Shimkus will be there. Gail Buchanan will be there. He's an undersecretary with USDA. He'll also be on campus here to take up energy markets with you as producers at Agronomy Day. And Eric Runn, who is a Central Illinois grain farmer, will talk about biofuels as well. That happens at Parkland. So two things to do right here in Urbana-Champaign on Thursday of this week. In 2 minutes, Ed Kieser should join us to take a quick look at the weather, and then we'll talk with Chip Flory from Pro Farmer.
It's National Soft Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Seth Thomas was born. An American clock manufacturer, Thomas was one of the pioneers in the mass production of clocks. In 1851, Charles E. Hyers was born. Hyers invented a particular flavored root beer. As a Philadelphia pharmacist, he sampled a herb tea while visiting New Jersey. Back home, he created a similar drink, Heyer's Herb Tea, with sassafras as the main flavoring ingredient. He sold the mixture at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in tiny packets containing barks, herbs, and berries for housewives to brew as root beer. In 1856, Gale Borden was granted a patent for a process to make condensed milk, which he developed in 1853. Condensed milk could be preserved for long periods of storage. His company's advertising slogan, "The milk from contented cows," was a tremendous success. The flat-top cans are still available today. And in 1887, Spencer Fullerton Baird died. An American naturalist and zoologist, he was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Chip Floria is waiting patiently on the line to talk about the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour sponsored by John Deere. But we do want to talk very quickly with Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist at WILL, about the weather, in particular whether Fay will have an impact on Ohio and some of the eastern Corn Belt where things have dried out pretty good at this time.
They have, and the latest on Fay is it's moving very slowly through Florida. It's centered 15 miles west-southwest of Lake Okeechobee, moving north-northeastward at 8 miles per hour. It's expected to slow down and turn northward. It's really going to sit over Florida, southern Georgia, and southern Alabama on into the weekend, so it's not going to have a direct impact on the eastern Corn Belt. However, a cool front approaching from the northwest will kick off a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. That front will likely slow down because of Fay. For Ohio on about Sunday. So that's something we'll have to watch. Right now it doesn't look like a heavy amount of rainfall, but time will tell on that. But no direct impact from Fay.
Dry skies mostly through now and the weekend, through a good portion of the Midwest?
We'll have scattered showers and thunderstorms start to develop about Friday into Saturday, and then in eastern and southern areas lingering into Sunday as that front slows down. But the overall picture is net drying, but some places will get a little drink of water.
Ed, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Chief meteorologist at WILL, Ed Kieser. Chip Floria on the line from Pro Farmer. He's probably outstanding in a field somewhere is my guess. Hi, Chip.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're always outstanding in the field. What are you finding in Nebraska? Are you in Nebraska today?
Yeah, we are. We're in Nebraska. We're in Johnson County, just waking our way up to Nebraska City right now. First thing, Todd. We've got new sponsors on the tour this year. It's Pioneer and John Deere Risk Protection.
That's
so,
right.
We're happy to have those guys out here. They're bringing some good expertise along with them. So this corn crop down in southeast Nebraska is really looking pretty solid. Drying land is very good, probably in that 135 to 140 bushel range. And it's not unusual to go through this area and find 50, 60, 70 bushel dry land corn. Irrigated corn isn't blowing our socks off like the dry land stuff is, mostly in that 170 to 180 bushel range. Some of them poke out above it, some of them fall below that range, but it is fairly consistent in that 175 bushel area. Plant health is good. Diseases, not a lot of diseases to talk about, and the pest populations out here are amazingly low. There's a few aphids out there in the soybeans, but that's about it.
Are you feeling better about the crop today than you did yesterday then?
Yeah. Yes, I am when it comes to Nebraska. And, you know, we see that a lot out here. When the northeast part of the state is good, a lot of times you run into troubles in the southeast part of the state. When the northeast doesn't really impress you like it did yesterday, then you come down into the southeast and it tends to offset the problems that we saw further north. So I think that's probably happening. Of course, I'm just running one route out here, but we've hit 12 counties. We're going to go through 14 through the course of the day, and and everything's looking pretty good. Maturity's right back on pace down here, too. A lot of this corn within 3 weeks is going to be black layered.
Chip, we'll talk with you again on Friday, and we'll be listening for those reports, sponsored, of course, by Pioneer and John Deere Risk Management.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Chip Flory is with Pro Farmer, where he serves as their senior analyst and editor. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.